Though, of course, there's winning and then there's winning. If you spend any time talking to your typical reality star, you come to realize that the greatest reward of all is camera time. And the easiest way to achieve that, barring any real skill, is to tap into your id and simply unleash. And it works. We remember Omarosa, but can you even recall the name of the first winner of The Apprentice, much less a single sentence he uttered?
I'm not here to make friends.
You know, whatever. I'm not here to make friends.
I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to win fights.
I'm not here to make friends with anybody. I'm here for bread.
I'm not here to make friends. I'm not going to apologize for how I feel. I didn't say nothing bad.
I'm not here to make friends.
Rich Jezwiak, his blog, where you can watch both of his I'm Not Here to Make Friends videos, is 44typepad.com. That's 44, write out the word each time, F-O-U-R, 44.typepad.com. Coming up, David Rakoff and how to make a wedding toast for people that you have never wanted to see married, and what are you doing at their wedding anyway? That's in a minute from Chicago Public Radio and Public Radio International when our program continues. It's This American Life, I'm Ira Glass. Each week on our show, we choose a theme, bring you different kinds of stories on that theme. Today's show, frenemies. And if the word frenemy just seemed to show up in your life, arrive in your life a couple of years ago unannounced, I think that is how pretty much everybody feels. Though its first appearance in the world that anybody could find is all the way back in 1953. Gossip columnist Walter Winchell says in one of his columns, "How's about calling the Russians our frenemies?" Didn't catch on. Lexicographer Erin McKean agreed to research this a little for us. She used to edit the New Oxford American Dictionary, now runs the online dictionary WordNik. She says the next citation of frenemy seems to be 24 years after Winchell, 1977, by the writer Jessica Mitford.
When she was talking about her sister and her sister's frenemy and said they played together constantly and all the time disliking each other heartily.
Mitford said that she and her sisters used the words as kids, and they thought they made it up. Still doesn't catch on. The next citation is 15 years after that, 1992, in a book of word games, and that author also thinks that she is inventing the word. It's not until the late 1990s that it shows up, and the people using the word seem to believe that any other people have ever used it before them. It's in a hit song by the New Radicals, You Get What You Give, in 1998.
And then it was on Sex and the City in 2000, late 2000.
Is that the turning point?
I think so.
After that, she says, it starts showing up all over the place. You get the executive editor of the New York Times, Bill Keller, declaring that Google is one of those companies the New York Times, quote, refers to as a frenemy, end quote. In 2008, it's put into the online Oxford English Dictionary. In 2009, just 2 months ago, it enters Merriam-Webster's Dictionary. But Erin McKean found it in one place much, much more than any other. Young adult novels targeted at teen girls, starting in around 2006.
But a lot of these words are just forcing their way to the surface of English. They just need to be made. And I think frenemy is a word like that.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, well, think about it. So the sounds fit together really well. You know, friend and enemy. They have a matching sound that you can blend together. So it's a blend word.
Right.
And people love the juxtaposition of two opposites.
Wait, are there other words like this where they sound alike and then they get smashed together into one word?
Oh, it happens like all the time. I mean, think there's like guesstimate, right? And that's from 1936.
Do you have another
one? I love this one. And people say this one all the time with the little thrill of thinking they're the first person ever to say it. You know, that someone is entering their anecdotage.
Oh, I've never heard that. So it's like you get old and then you start telling your anecdotes and that's it.
Right. And I think the essential part is you start telling the same anecdotes over and over again.
Right. You got another?
Lots of people say that they are the first person to create the word linner.
Linner?
Linner is that meal you must have between lunch and dinner.
That just makes me feel mad at somebody hearing that. Like, oh, for God's sake, just wipe that look off your face.
Right. And a lot of people who come and talk to lexicographers think they're being really clever when they use the word slanguage. So, slang plus language.
But you do not find that clever.
I just don't use it very much myself.
Does the fact that there's a word for this phenomenon frenemy indicate that it's a common thing to happen in the world?
Oh, no, because there are words for all sorts of crazy and unusual things that are fairly rare. And, I mean, there are lots of things that we talk about that we don't have single words for in English. When we don't have a single word for something in English that we think we should have a word for, it's called a lexical gap.
Well, like what's an example of that?
Pretty much the most famous example of a lexical gap is that we have a word for people who've lost their parents. You know, we call them orphans. But we don't have a single word for parents who've lost a child.
Right.
So there are lots of people who've made suggestions, none of which I can remember right now because none of them have stuck.
Right. That sounds like some sad contest on public radio on the weekend where they'd have people write in to make up that word.
Right.
It's worth noting.